In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. As you may have noticed on these Sundays during Great Lent, that the Church has held up certain people and certain events in order to encourage us and to teach us something about and how to gain particular virtues. So as St. Gregory Palamas, the Church reminded us that it is possible to pray in the very presence of the glory of God. With St. Gregory of the Latter, that we read last Sunday, we learned about that in order to ascend into heaven with God, in addition with God's grace, it takes effort. And it needs the acquirement of virtues. But it takes great effort in order to ascend. Now, on this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Great Lent, the Church lifts up a very interesting saint. Her name is Saint Mary of Egypt, right? And so we're going to talk a little bit about her story today and what her story offers us as way of encouragement, not only during this time of Great Lent, but in our spiritual lives, because she is a life of great repentance. As we'll see, she had a youth of great sin, but also she spent the rest of her life coming to reality and repenting. And that the message of her life is that it's never too late to repent. It's never too late to put our old life behind us. No matter how bad it is, it's always possible to repent and return to God. Now, let's talk a little bit about this life of St. Mary of Egypt. This example of one who went from a bad childhood to a good life to the heavenly life through the power of Jesus Christ and the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. So there was once a popular psychologist who wrote a best-selling book about how to have a good life despite having a bad childhood. In this book, the author proposed the way to deal with a sad childhood is to first acknowledge the sadness and disappointment of being let down by adults in the past, and then to acknowledge the evil consequences that come from being let down. And then a second part of this healing process is identifying key people to act as advocates and mentors who will guide us through the present and future life. It is the power and mentorship of parents that greatly determines what kind of childhood we will have, and it is the lack of parents that determines also what kind of childhood that we will have, and also what kind of adulthood that we will have. So we need good mentors, and we need good advocates. So the story of St. Mary of Egypt is one of a bad childhood that led to a good life. In her life, St. Mary had to deal with a very tragic, bad early life, who later came to struggle, uplifted by the power of Christ and the mentorship of the Theotokos, to create a new life of constant repentance. Her story of repentance is so powerful that the Orthodox Church commemorates her life story on the fifth Sunday of Lent as a life worthy to remember and imitate in our own struggle of repentance that leads to a good life with Christ. The Church holds St. Mary as a unique mentor and advocate for us in our spiritual quest for salvation and entering the kingdom of heaven. St. Mary of Egypt was born and raised in Alexandria, Egypt, around the late 5th century. Stories vary about her childhood, whether she was abandoned by her parents or if she abandoned them. Either way, during this troubled part of her life, the young Mary became a prostitute. In her biography, Mary described herself how she lived the most depraved life, doing unmentionable things, not only for money, but often just because she enjoyed doing them. She even called herself a predator, who set out to seduce young men who she found particularly inviting. So as we can learn from Mary's life, Some passions and addictions are so pleasurable that some might go to any lengths of self-destruction or destruction of others to fulfill them. Now, one day in Alexandria, Mary saw a boat that was about to set sail, and the boat was full of pilgrims leaving for Jerusalem to venerate the Holy Cross. Now, this was a time after Christianity was legalized, and many thousands of pilgrims had become Christians and wanted to be tourists to the Holy Land. Some went because they had real fervor, and some went because it was a trendy thing to do. Others saw the pilgrimage as an expected thing to do, as an expected thing for them to do, an obligation of the Christian life. Mary decided to go along just to go along with a crowd. Now, it's not right to criticize any of them, because God can work miracles even through those who just go along with the crowd. But St. Mary had no money for the ticket, but she offered herself and her favors as fare for the boat ride, and seduced the way she did, seducing men on the very boat who were on the way to venerate the Holy Cross. Now, you could call this blasphemy, but I doubt any of us have or will have gone to the extremes of Mary. However, it would do good to ask ourselves, what do we do on the way to venerate the cross in our parish? It doesn't take much for us to forget the holy things in our life, not just the gold and silver things in our church, nor even the relics of the saints, nor even the Holy Eucharist. There are other holy things in our lives vitally important to our salvation: our families, our spouses, our children, and the time we spend with them, and the things we do or don't do when we are with them. It is too easy to forget the myriad of things in our lives that are gifts and graces that God gives to us to save us. Now, the Bible is full of people who rode roughshod over their life with God. It's full of people who, through carelessness or recklessness, did things that separated them from God. Our merciful God often responded to such carelessness with purposeful acts of salvation. People often feel guilty and are afraid of what God might do to them because of their sins. It is an immature, unchristian practice to picture God as someone waiting and wanting to destroy people for their sins. God wants to save us. Jesus came not to destroy the world, but to save it, and to participate in God's desire to save us. One only needs to stop being careless and act purposely toward their life with Christ. However, this is impossible for anyone to do alone, but we need, again, the advocacy and mentors of the saints, and the power and the grace and the mercy of the Holy Spirit. Now, continuing Mary's story. When she got off the boat in Jerusalem, she followed the crowd to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which to this very day still houses the Holy Cross, as well as the empty tomb of the resurrected Christ. When she tried to enter the church, however, she was held back as if by an invisible shield. And noticing the others entering freely, she tried again and again to enter. And finally, realizing her inability to enter, she despaired and fell on her knees. And she wept and grieved from the bottom of her heart. And she realized at that moment her separation from God. And at that spot, when she wanted to enter very much, she knew that she was powerless to enter because of the mountain of her sins. And over the door of the temple, she saw an icon of the Theotokos. And in despair, she could only think to turn to the Theotokos, seeking the Panagia's help to do what she could not do by herself. And she begged the Theotokos to hear her confession. And the Theotokos listened. And the Saint Mary of Egypt admitted her guilt and helplessness in controlling her passions. In other words, she admitted that she was addicted to her passions. And whatever promises she made to God about never defiling herself and fleeing from her horrible lusts and seeking God could not happen until she gave over to God her weak, diseased, defected, and rebellion-driven will. And only by doing this could she get out of the way and let God do his healing work. Now, some stories say that St. Mary then fled into the desert and lived as a hermit for 47 years and lived a life of the strictest asceticism and mortification of the flesh and self-denial. Other stories say that she entered a monastery and found her salvation there. In the end, it doesn't matter where she went. The most important thing is that she realized that she could not save herself by her efforts alone. Repentance of sins, large and small, is in many ways a superhuman thing to do. We cannot make ourselves righteous. Only God can. And we need God's help, as well as guidance and intercession from all the saints, especially the Mother of God, to begin a new life. And we also need each other in this parish community. And towards her salvation, St. Mary did the most effective thing. She gave up control of her life and handed it over to God. And when she was tempted by lustful thoughts and images, which happened throughout her time in the desert, and which the devil performs for us so that he can try to convince us through deception that repentance is impossible, she fell to the ground and begged for God's help each and every time. And the church calls her a saint because of her spiritual battles and her agonies and her ultimate victory through Jesus Christ. We are called to do the same, taking comfort in the fact that the best the devil can do is to only offer images that annoy and distract us. And we are called to seek God's help when we are tempted to turn to these images into reality. Every time this happens, we should say to ourselves, "Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy." As we approach Pascha, let us pray to Jesus that he, through the intercessions of his mother and of all the saints, including St. Mary of Egypt, will show each of us how to repent and to learn how to repent so that after a short time of the hard work of repentance, we can know the infinite joy of being with our Lord Jesus Christ, both in this world and in his kingdom.